Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, which is on page 38 in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. Again, he began to teach beside the lake. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the lake and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the lake on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, God, for your word, what a gift it is to us. Your word instructs us and guides us and directs us, and sometimes it admonishes us, it challenges us, but ultimately it gives us life. And so feed us with your word this morning, for it is the truth, and it has the power to set us free. In Christ's name, amen. We've been looking at this parable now. This is the third of four Sundays. We're looking at the same story because it's such a fundamental teaching. It's one of the only parables that we find in all three of the Gospels that contain parables, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's the very first parable that Jesus tells. And so it's one that has a particular significance and a power and importance. And at the end of the parable, the part we're going to hear next week, we hear that this field that the sower plants a seed in produces this incredible abundance, this overflowing harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100 times more than what was planted. It is a miraculous harvest. Jesus says, that's what I want your life to look like. That's what he wants for all of us. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to produce abundance. He wants to give us an overflowing life of goodness, the things that the kingdom says make for good and rich lives. Kindness, generosity, love, forgiveness. He wants our lives to just be filled to overflowing with the abundance. He wants us to be that good soil. That's what this parable is about. But before we can become that good soil, Jesus also describes there are other options. There are other possibilities for our spiritual life that don't include this flourishing life. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first kind of soil, the hard soil, the rock, the people that just don't get it. Nothing comes through. God's love, his goodness, his mercy just doesn't seem to have any impact in their lives, and there's very little growth there. There's no responsiveness to God. Last week, we looked at the growth that happens quickly, but it doesn't have any deep-rootedness. There's no real connection to God in a lasting way, and so nothing produces very quickly, but then it dries up, and as soon as something happens that's discouraging, people simply lose their way. The people who just lack perseverance. They're not there when we really need them, and we talked about that last week. Today we want to look at this really good soil, but also planted in the soil at the same time are other kinds of plants. Jesus calls them thorns or weeds, things that are sapping the life out of the good seed and out of the good plants that are growing up. And, you know, anyone who has a garden, you just know that's what weeds do. They're growing up simultaneously at the same time. Sometimes it's actually hard to tell what's a weed and what's a good plant, right? You know, my wife, she's in charge of the garden at our house, and, you know, sometimes I've gone out there to the flower beds, and I was just about to pull something out, because as far as I was concerned, that was a weed. I thought, I better wait and ask the master gardener if that's to be pulled out or not. And most of the time, she says, no, it just hasn't bloomed yet. I'm so glad you didn't pull that one out. Occasionally, I have pulled it out, and you've gotten in a lot of trouble with the master. But, you know, sometimes that's the way our lives are. There are things growing up at the same time, in the same place. Some of them are about to produce this incredible abundance. There's a part of our lives that God is about to just make flourish. But if there's something else competing with it, taking some of those nutrient, taking some of the good things away, will never produce that harvest. We'll never have that good root. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You know, Jesus told this parable 2,000 years ago, but it was almost as if he already knew that you and I were going to be sitting here. Because this is a parable that is specifically targeted to people of material abundance. And there has never been a society in the history of the world that has the kind of material abundance that you and I currently enjoy. We are the wealthiest society that has ever existed in the history of planet Earth. And that exists now. There is more wealth in our particular country. And right here in little old Allentown, central New Jersey, are people of incredible abundance. And Jesus is speaking directly to us, even though he spoke 2,000 years ago. What's Jesus talking about? When he's talking about that in some soil, there were these other plants that grew up, and the seed fell among these thorns or these weeds. They grew up and they choked it and it yielded no grain. What is he talking about? Well, he actually tells us what he's talking about. If you read a little bit further, he actually explains this parable. So if you go back and you look just a few verses later, this is what he says about the seed that fell into the good soil. Others are those sown among the thorns, among the weeds. These are the ones who hear the word. They are told about a good and loving God who never stops searching for them. They hear the word. They hear about who God is and what he's done. But the cares of the world, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things comes in and chokes the good word, the good seed, and it yields nothing. Oh my goodness, how convicting. It was like he knew my life. He knew the exact situation in which I was going to be living. And you and me. He understands that we are in a position of people who have been given so much. And instead of seeing it as a gift from God, it begins to compete with God for first place in our hearts. And we become people who then begin to produce very little. You know, this is a very subtle thing that can happen over time. That we begin to mistake the good things that God has given us as an outflowing of his grace in our life as the things themselves that we are to be striving for and looking for and giving ourselves to. The cares of the world. Anybody here worried about anything? Does anybody have cares this morning? Is there something that's bothering you, kept you awake, you're anxious about, you're nervous about, you're frustrated about? The cares of the world. You know, some of those cares are very serious and important things that you should be rightfully caring about. You have some responsibilities that are serious responsibilities. But when you dig a little deeper, for a lot of people, what are we caring about? We're caring about things. You know, because we've gotten so much stuff in our life that requires our attention, we become overly preoccupied with the maintenance, the insurance, the security of our stuff. And it begins to own us and to try to distract us. It begins to choke us out, the cares of the world. The lure of wealth. You know, boy, does that just name people. In our previous church, there was a couple that came into the life of our church when we were early on there. And they were both very educated, career-oriented folks. And shortly, they were coming to church every week, and their lives were really grounded in their relationship with Christ and the church. It was super important. And their careers began to take off. They had three little kids who, when they came to the church, they were like elementary, middle school kind of age. And all of a sudden, you know, they weren't there as often. They were traveling, the business, the careers, you know, they were traveling a lot. You know, the kids, you know, were kind of in the daycare kind of a thing because they were supporting that. And, I mean, they just did so well. These were multi-gifted people. God had blessed them with amazing personalities and educations and all kinds of opportunities that were coming their way. And you know, it began to simply take them over. And they weren't around that often anymore. And there, you know, we didn't see them, you know, and then months would go by, and then they'd show up every once in a while. And it wasn't that so much that they weren't coming to church, but they were drifting away from God. And the oldest son, I'll never forget, he came and he talked to me. And he said, you know, I was doing the youth ministry at the time in this church, and he was in the youth group. And he came and he talked to me, and he said, "Mom and Dad are fighting again." I'm like, "They're fighting again?" I mean, they just seemed like they were just such a happy family. He says, "It's always about the money. It's always about the money." Jesus understands the lure of wealth. He understands how powerful that draw can be. And let me be very clear about something. There is nothing wrong with being wealthy. God wants us to have lives of abundance, which includes wealth. Why? So that we have the resources to invest back into the kingdom of God, so other people can flourish who desperately need those resources. The wealth God gives us is not given to us for our own personal comfort and satisfaction, to make our lives more comfy and fun. When people begin to take the wealth that God has given them and use it for selfish purposes, it becomes destructive to us. God wants our wealth to be an outpouring of flourishing so that we can bless our church. We can bless the people in the world who need our blessing. Not so we can hoard it and make our lives more comfortable. It's all about the money, and when it becomes all about the money, it becomes less and less about the one who gives us the gift. It becomes a weed rather than a fruit. And that's the difference. When are the things of our lives becoming competing for our attention, for our heart, and for our time? The desire for other things. Jesus had another word. The Bible has another word when we have a desire for something else that equals our desire or surpasses our desire for God. It's called an idol. It's called idolatry. That's a desire for other things that we put ahead of God. Jesus says that's what happens in an affluent culture. This probably doesn't come as a surprise to you, but worship attendance in the United States of America is lower than it has ever been since the 1920s. Only 17% of Americans will be in a house of worship on a regular basis. A generation ago, it was 40% or more. Why? There are probably a lot of reasons for that, but the number one reason is our cultural affluence. Affluence gives people so many other options. And as we have more choices and options that money creates, we more and more choose not to spend it pursuing a relationship with God. We desire other things. There's a family we haven't seen here in a while, and Maureen reached out to them, and this is the email she got back. "Thanks for reaching out. We've just had a really busy fall. Very few of our friends and family go to church. So it seemed like Sundays and weekends lately have been booked with birthday parties, traveling, and other events." That's one voice out of dozens and dozens and dozens. As we become affluent, we have the choices of birthday parties and travel and other events and teams and all kinds of other good things. Let me be clear about this. These aren't bad things. These are good things, but when they compete for God, they become destructive things. What God wants to do is see our lives flourish because of our rootedness in Him, not putting up other things that begin to compete with God for first place in our lives. Then they begin to choke us out. You know, as affluent people, there's really one clear answer to this particular type of soil, and that is to simplify. Sometimes, friends, we simply need to pull out the weeds, even those that look like good things to the eye. There are things that simply create such a confusion, such a complication, so many cares and worries and anxieties that may be good things, but giving yes to a good thing may keep us and prevent us from saying yes to the most important thing, and that's our relationship with God. And when we cut ourselves off from the roots of that, we may flourish for a short time, but in the end it leads to death. It's pursuing a relationship with God and having God at the center and the core of our lives that leads to an ultimate abundance and flourishing of the things that are most important, that sustain us in the long run. And it's a choice that we have to make. Next Sunday, friends, is an opportunity for us as a community of faith to make a choice about what is our priority, what's in first place. What are we going to give our best to of our time and our money and our character? Will it be our relationship with Christ lived out through this community of faith, or will other things steal and take the life force that we could be using for that which is most important? It's our choice. It's something we have to do. You know, we have this unbelievable youth ministry that is flourishing and growing with abundance because of all of the adults who invest themselves in this community, in this particular ministry. They give of their time, they give of their money, and that allows people like Karen and JC and Jenna to do the thing that God has called them to do. But friends, we have to agree that this is something we're going to continue to pour ourselves into and not become so distracted and diffused that we can no longer do this amazing work that God has put in front of us. It's going to take our commitment and our time in order to see this and all the ministries of our church flourish. And that means for some of us saying no to other things so we can say yes to the best thing of all. And that's our relationship with God. Lord, thank you so much. We confess, God, some of us have allowed some other things to grow up that have stolen our time and our attention and our minds away from you, that have prevented us from worshiping you the way we should, for being humble the way that you've taught us, for investing in those things that are more important. God, some of us, we confess, have just spent way too much of our resources on ourselves and very little on the things that matter most to you and on the people who matter most to you. And so, God, we just pray that you would just give us a new heart, that you would restore us and renew us, that we would have the courage to just get rid of those things, God, that are sapping us so that we can be more deeply rooted in you. In Jesus' name, amen.